would now turn to Acts chapter 20 and beginning there, verse number 17, and we'll not read every passage there in this chapter, time's sake, but we certainly will make reference to them. And this morning it was mentioned that about Paul's ministry in Ephesus and how Timothy was there, you know, working there in Ephesus as well. And so tonight we want to look at this particular ministry in Ephesus. And verse 17 says, "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said to them, You know, from the first day that I came unto Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons." Let's pray. Father, we thank you now for the reading of your word. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts tonight. And Lord, give us a fresh look, a fresh burden for sinners. And Lord, that you might help us, God, to see the importance, the need of a real ministry, Lord, in our country. And Father, in the local church and on the mission field. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now, in all reality, there's not much difference in a missionary and a pastor.
That's right.
They have to be qualified the same way. Now, you understand the word missionary is not found in the Word of God, but the word evangelist is. And an evangelist in New Testament times, they went out, they preached, they evangelized, started New Testament churches, got them on their feet and went on their way and started more, you see. Well, you understand it stands to reason then that if an evangelist or a missionary is going to start a church, that means he's also going to have to pastor a while. So there again, the qualifications for a pastor and missionary have got to be the same.
Right.
And you understand then that when you see Paul, he has started a number of churches. And he's fixing out to leave Ephesus, and he's going to Jerusalem. And so before he goes, he leaves some instruction for the elders at Ephesus. And these men now are going to be responsible for the ministry, for the churches that were there to pastor, to lead, just as Paul had done for 3 years. And so you'll find now there are five things in this particular text I want to draw your attention to. First of all, I want you to notice in verses number 19 down to verse number 27 the kind of witness Paul had while he was there at Ephesus. Number two, verses 28 down to verses number 31, I want you to see the kind of warning Paul gave to those Ephesian elders. Verse number 32, I want you to see the kind of wisdom Paul displayed as he put these Ephesian elders and the work of Ephesus in the hands of God. And verses number 33 down to verse 35, I want you to see the kind of work Paul did while he was at Ephesus. And finally, in verses 36 down to verse 38, I want you to see the kind of weeping Paul saw when he departed from them. Now, looking at verses number 19, you understand Paul says now, this talks about the kind of witness he had. He says, "Serving the Lord with all humility of mind, with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews." You'll find the first thing in verse number 19 that shows Paul's witness was he was a servant.
Amen.
And you understand then that you're never going to accomplish anything for the glory of God if you don't see yourself as being a servant of God.
Right.
God will not share His glory with any man.
That's right. Amen.
And He does not want you or I to draw attention to ourselves. We're nothing more than just servants.
Amen.
In His servitude, the Bible teaches us this. He says this, with all the humility of mind, talks about a mind of lowliness. What he's saying is that Paul served the Lord in humility of mind, means he understand this, that if you're of the opinion tonight that you're something great and good, or you're God's gift to the ministry, man, you're badly mistaken. And by the grace of God, He saved you, raised you up.
Amen.
And besides that, my friend, we're nothing apart from God.
Amen.
And you understand this tonight, that Paul's thinking was the fact that God has saved old wretched sinner, delivered him out of the mire clay, set him on a solid foundation, was gracious and merciful to him, and all he could brag about was the glorious God who saved him from his sin.
Amen.
Well, you understand that ought to be our thinking tonight.
That's it. Amen.
And then he says this, not only serve the Lord on humility of mind, he says, and with many tears. The course, tears reflect his love and burden that he had for the folks in Ephesus.
Right.
Now you understand this, people aren't foolish or stupid. They can tell whether or not you really care about them or not.
Right.
Well, you understand this, Paul's witness was not only a ministry of servitude and humility, but it also was a ministry with tears in regards to the fact that he had compassion, he had a burden for souls, he had a desire to see them folks live right for God, and my friend, it did cause him to weep and cry over the people that he was ministering to.
Amen.
On occasion, you hear some brothers say, well, you know, bless God, I don't care. They want to leave the church, let them leave the church. Or bless God, they want to be that way, let them be that way. As long as they just sound real mean and stuff. But you understand this, we ought to be concerned.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, that's right.
We ought to love the people. You see, you can't reach nobody if you don't love them.
You're right.
Amen.
And you understand this kind of love we're talking about is an unconditional love. Because sometimes, when you're trying to reach a people, most of the time, a lot of those people aren't going to love you back.
Yeah,
until God does a work in their heart, they're not going to love you back. Matter of fact, they're not even going to appreciate you.
Right.
They can care less if you're there or not. So you better have a genuine love for the people.
Yeah.
It says that he also served the Lord with many tears, and he says, also and temptations, which fell held me by the lying weight in weight of the Jews. Well, you understand that those Judaizers were always trying to undermine Paul's ministry. But you understand this, that Paul, realizing that they were there, still served the Lord under temptation. In other words, he wasn't the man that was going to run. He was going to stand.
Amen.
Well, that's the kind of servitude you see Paul did. Verse 20, 21, you see Paul teaching. The Bible says he taught publicly from house to house. And also it says that showed you, talks about him being an example. Paul then was a Bible teacher, Bible preacher.
Amen.
And you'll find in verse number 21, this is what he taught. Testifying both to the Jews and also the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was a gospel preacher. He preached a sound message of repentance and faith in Christ Jesus today. In a lot of modern messages, in the modern pulpits of our day, the message of repentance has been left out.
You're right.
Well, did you understand then? He had a testimony of being a Bible preacher. When you come to verses number 22 down to verse 25, you'll find that Paul is going to Jerusalem, and it's a possibility that he may be put in prison, or he could lose his life. But Paul's desire is this, simply to finish his course. Do what God has called him to do. The course which you learn from this passage here is the fact that Paul had a testimony of being obedient.
Amen.
You understand this? What we're lacking today in the modern church is obedience.
Amen.
Amen.
That's why nobody wants to surrender to the mission field.
You're right.
That's why nobody wants to surrender to the ministry.
Amen.
That's why nobody wants to do anything for the cause of Christ because of lack of obedience or because of lack of obeying God. They want to do what they want to do.
That's it. Amen.
You see, we're selfish by nature. I mean, the selfish is the selfish. You don't have to teach the young. I mean, you got to teach them to share their toys, share their food, and you work hard trying to get them to share it and be nice. Why? Because they'll be selfish all by themselves. Amen?
That's it. Amen.
Well, you understand this. We live in a generation of people who are selfish. And I'm not going to obey God because it's not profitable for me financially, artistically, materialistically, or it's not going to help my image in. Well, you understand this, that Paul was faithful to obey God.
Yeah.
Even though it meant dying or going to prison. You learn then in verse 26 and 27 that Paul's witness also was that of faithfulness. It says, "Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I am not ashamed to declare to you all the counsel of God." Here's the man who says this, that I'm pure for the blood of all men. Which tells me that Paul was faithful in witnessing to a lost and dying world. He did not become a respecter of persons. Amen.
Amen.
And you realize sometimes our visitation is like that, isn't it?
You're right.
I mean, it's a lot easier to go to the nicer part of town and try to invite folks to church than to go to the slums.
You're right.
Or you go down the streets of Dover, Tennessee, and this weekend you're going to probably have some folks come through this part of the country for the festivities, and some of them are going to be very undesirable people. Well, we better stay clear of them. Let's go to this crowd over here. Will you understand this? God has raised us up and called us to preach the gospel to everybody.
Amen.
Amen.
To everybody. That's why Paul could say this, that he was pure of the blood of all men. He said also that he declared the whole counsel of God. In other words, he held nothing back.
Amen.
Now what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying he was faithful to preach this book. You see, when I first started off as full-time ministry at Pittsburgh in 1981, you know, there's always pastors and so forth trying to give you some advice, and I appreciate good advice, amen? But one brother says, "Now, Brother Johnson, if you begin to go on deputation and let people know that you're a Calvinist or you believe the doctrines of grace, you probably won't get much support." And so his advice was, just go and preach. And if the subject comes up, just pass over it and go on your way. Well, I thought, that's kind of strange. You know, I didn't know whether or not that was good advice. Because you know, I said, well, I need to get my support up. Well, to be honest with you, I tried it 2 or 3 times. And it turned around and bit me. Amen?
That's it. Amen.
They found out anyhow.
Yeah.
But what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this. You can't be ashamed of what you believe.
Amen. Amen.
Be faithful to teach it. And God honors that.
Yeah.
And the Lord is taking care of us. And He's put us in churches and with pastors who believe what we believe. And you know, I don't have to tip around the tulip, amen? Or tip through the tulips. I just preach.
Amen.
What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying be faithful to preach the Word of God. Paul was faithful. And God honors faithfulness.
Amen.
He honors men who are faithful. Well, that's the testimony Paul had while he was there at Ephesus. And then you look at verse number 28, down to verse 31. Here's some warning now that Paul gives to those Ephesian elders. He says this, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and all the flock, over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." Now, in verse 28, you learn that Paul warns them, first of all, by saying that they need to take heed therefore unto yourselves. Now that word, "take heed," simply means to guard yourself. And the instruction is to the elders is this, that fellas, you better guard yourself. Well, there's not a preacher or a man of God here in the house tonight that's not subject to falling or getting out of the will of God.
Amen. You're right, amen.
Amen.
I'm praying that that won't happen, but it could.
It could.
And the reason why it can is because sometimes the men of God get a little bit careless and they don't watch themselves.
You're right, amen.
Well, Paul had been around a while. He knew the danger. So he says, now fellas, take heed to yourselves. In other words, watch yourself. And not only that, but watch the flock whom God has made you overseer.
Amen.
Well, then you understand that tonight, I'm not used to staying behind a pulpit, brother.
Yeah, I'm not either, brother. Just run around.
What he's saying is this. He says, now, you need to oversee, you need to watch the flock. Why? Because there are those out yonder who are going to try to come in and destroy the flock.
Right.
So you need to guard the flock.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, when I first started preaching, I couldn't wait till God put me in a church, but I have a big church. Bunch of people, full-time in ministry, nice building. I said, well, the more people, the better. But you know, I found out that the more people, the more accountable you become.
Right.
Amen?
Yeah.
And the problems multiply. Well, I'm still a candidate for a large church, amen? But I'm pleased to pastor the folks I got right now. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, to give an account for their souls, that's a lot of responsibility.
Amen.
And to watch over them, to guard them, you see. Now, Paul says this to them, he says, now, and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, he says, to feed the church of God. Well, you understand that Paul's ministry was not only to oversee, but he tells you to feed everybody. He says, you fellows have got to feed the flock of God.
Amen.
That's part of overseeing. That's part of guarding, you see. Give them something that they can chew on and develop on so that they can stand against the enemy, you see.
Amen.
Feed the church of God. Now, you understand that feeding is not easy. Most of you fellows have been around long enough to know that you can go to the internet or go down to the local bookstore and buy sermon outlines. Yeah, you can. Get them off the internet, amen? Not much work in that, is it? The average pulpit of our day, they do like a lot of what we call topical preaching. And there's nothing wrong in topical preaching in its place. But you'll starve on that after a while.
Amen. Right.
You understand this, it takes work to do an exposition of a book.
Amen.
Do word studies, background, and develop messages to feed the church where they can get fed.
You're right.
That takes a lot of work, doesn't it?
Yes.
We understand Paul saying that you feed the church. Feed the flock. You know, I like bologna every once in a while, don't you?
Yeah.
But every once in a while, I like a real steak.
Yeah. Amen.
Well, you understand this. Feed the church.
That's it.
Now, not only is he instructing the man of God to feed the church, but you understand that the church ought to show up at mealtime.
Right.
Amen.
That's it. Amen.
What's your name, brother?
Sean Presta.
Sean, and what's your name? Tammy. And you belong to him, right? Now, Brother Sean, what would happen to you if Tammy decides today I'm going to cook a meal? I mean, we're not talking about stuff that comes in a can or microwavable, man. I'm talking about real cooking. I'm not going to take that. I'm talking about, you know, all-purpose flour, baking powder, buttermilk, amen, making some biscuits.
Amen.
Amen. Not packaged gravy, amen, but put the grease in the skillet and put the fire on there and put the sweet milk in there. And then with that milk gravy, you know what I'm talking about?
Amen.
Amen. Of course.
Some of you young guys may not know what we're talking about now, amen.
What
kind of thing
is it?
But I'm saying it came and I said, I'm going to prepare a home-cooked meal that's going to blow John's out of the water. I mean, he is going to really enjoy this meal. And she works all afternoon and she cooks and she labors and she fixes a nice dessert and takes all afternoon to fix. And Sean's supposed to be home at 5 o'clock to eat supper. 5 o'clock comes and Sean doesn't show up. Hello. Now, Tammy, is that going to bother your son? Well, what happens now if Sean's out there by 6 o'clock and the food's still on the table and getting cold? Is that going to bother you, son? Probably a whole lot by that time, isn't it? Well, here at 6:30, Sean walks in the door. Says, honey, I'm home! Well, Tim says, there's food on the table. It's cold. It's there. Oh, I donate downtown. I'm not hungry. Now, Tim, by this time, are you going to be upset? Now, I'm not going to ask Tammy what she's going to do to Sean. But you can use your own imagination, ladies, what you would do to your man if he showed up that way. Now, if you're a young man, I hope you're taking record here because a lot of young husbands do that. At least one time. Now, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this, that Tammy has labored and she has worked and you ladies know what it takes to cook a meal of this kind. And for your husband not to show up to eat the meal or not even try to attempt to eat that, my friend, you get wholly indignant. It's plain bad, amen? Well, if you understand this, then, can't you imagine now, Brother Lafferty, preparing a meal for the saints here at New Testament Baptist Church, and you don't show up?
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Hear what I'm saying?
Amen.
The church needs to show up at mealtime. Just as God has told the elders, preachers, to feed the church.
Amen.
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 Well, he says this now. For I know this, that after my departure shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. That word grievous wolves talks about wolves that are of a savage nature. In other words, they're going to come in from the outside and try to rip things apart. And Paul obviously knew that that was going to happen, especially when he left town. Well, you better have fed the church. And you better be guarding the church and guarding yourself because the wolves are coming.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
They're always outside the building trying to get in.
Amen.
Today we've got wolves in all of the churches today. And I'm not talking about just those that don't think, I'm talking about Baptist churches. Did you know today you can go to some Baptist churches, they've got on their sign, traditional service at 10 o'clock, contemporary service at 11 o'clock.
Well, mate.
Right, preacher.
Yeah. Now, have you ever gone to a contemporary service? Mm. Now, don't raise your hands because I really don't want to know, but how many of you were Elvis Presley fans when you lost? Now, I see it in your eyes. What are you saying, preacher? Well, it's like going to something like that.
Yeah. You're right.
Do you understand this? That wolves have already got into a lot of Baptist churches.
You're right. Amen.
Amen.
You're right.
Then he says this. And of your own selves, shall men arise speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Now that word perverse carries the idea to twist something out of joint. And so he's saying this now, if you don't get trouble from the outside, watch out for those fellows who are on the inside. Now there again, obviously Paul knew something they didn't know. And I'm amazed every time a church loses its pastor, how the devil will pop his head up out of the congregation. Somebody who wants to take control,
right, preacher,
and lead away the disciples after themselves, cause division and strife in the church. Paul says, watch out for that crowd. They'll even twist the truth out of joint to accomplish this.
You're right.
Well, there's the words of warning. He says in verse 31, therefore, because of this reason, which, and watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I seek God to warn everyone night and day with tears. That word watch talks about staying awake. To bring them into remembrance. He's done that 3 years with tears. He guarded the flock. He fed them. Watched over them. He stayed awake. Well, do you understand this work of pastoring, this work of being a missionary, this is not a lazy man's job.
You're right.
A lot of time and effort goes into being a real man of God. Now, notice the wisdom Paul displays in verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which they revealed you are, and to give you inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Now, he says, brethren, I commend you to God. Now, to commend something is to take something of great value and place it alongside of someone for safekeeping. What's your name?
Neo.
What?
Neo.
Neo?
Neo.
Neo. Come here, Neo. Where's your mom and dad at?
Over there.
All right. There's mom and dad. All right. Now here's Neo. Now, you understand that to his mom and dad, this is a very precious little boy. Amen?
Amen.
I'm sure you can be a laundry in some days, isn't it? But of all his honoriness, he is a very valuable boy. If his daddy says, now, Neil, I've got to go out of town. I'm going to be gone for a long while. I don't know when I'm coming back. But in the meantime, I'm going to commend you to Brandon White. That means you guys said, my Brandon. What his daddy's doing is this. He's saying to Brandon, Brandon, I'm commending Neo to your charge. Which means, Brandon, as long as you have him, because of the value of this child, he's very precious and important to me, you're to protect him, provide for him, discipline him, watch over him, whatever you got to do, take care of him. He is in your charge. Why? Because he's a very valuable possession to me, so look after him. Paul says this now, I'm going to commend you elders to God. Now what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this, that's not always easy to do.
Amen.
When we left Mississippi, we were there 13 years and we watched people get saved, young men grow up and have families, and my wife, she liked to take care of babies, and she'd take care of all their children until they got older, and then they'd go to school or go to daycare or something, you know. And I'd get tickled when she snapped that finger. Every kid in the church would look at her. But what's even funnier, when she snapped her finger and their parents look at her. But you understand this, We love them people in Mississippi. And Brother Jeff Dukes and Brother Billy Holbrook and their families know the people I'm talking about, and these preacher boys that were there. And they're no longer boys. They're all the same age as these men. They're grown men, preachers, and pastors. But the point is this. I couldn't help think how they were going to get along without me. If they survived, what was going to happen to the church? And I, even though I knew it was time to go, if ever knew it was time to go, you just couldn't help but wonder. Well, we went away, we've gone 5 years, they're doing fine without us, amen?
Amen.
What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that God takes care of His people then. Paul knew that God can take care of the work in the ministry. And you understand this, that you have preached, and you have fed, and you have taught, and you have been an example for them people, my friends. They'll stand for God.
Amen.
You've got to have confidence in the Word of God that you've taught if you've been faithful to preach and teach it.
Amen.
They'll stand. He committed to God and also to the Word of His grace. Amen?
Amen.
There is no substitute for the Word of God.
Amen.
And notice the result. It says, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. The point is this, my friend, God being committed to Him and to the Word of God, it will build them up. They will grow in grace. And my friend, in days to come, they will inherit the inheritance, you see, that God has prepared for them. Well, you understand there's only so much we can do.
That's it.
And that's the wisdom Paul had. He realized that from this point on, it was God and them.
Amen.
Here's the working. In verse 33, says, I coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yet you yourself know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so labored you ought to support the weak and remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Well, you understand there, in verse 33, we learn that Paul didn't have a problem with materialism. That word covet carries the idea to set one's heart upon something. Well, you understand, if anything gets us off track, gentlemen, it could be materialism.
That's right.
Amen.
Right. And not just the men folk, ladies too, amen.
Yes, sir.
Have you ever said, well, man, we served God for all these years, and man, we still ain't got nothing. Still living in the parsonage. Still wearing somebody's hand-me-down. Still don't have a retirement plan. Have you thought that way?
I have.
You understand this, that God takes care of His people.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
And if you start focusing on materialism, things that you don't have, you're going to lose sight of what's important.
Amen.
I also found out, though, if you're faithful, God does bless you with some things. Amen.
Amen.
When Deborah and I got married, or fixed to get married, I told her, well, you know now, in the ministry, and I can't promise we'll ever live in one place forever. And I can't promise you'll ever have a house you call your own. Because I said, I plan on preaching and going wherever God takes me. And she said, well, I'll go. And one day the Lord put us to the test and we had to go to Canada. And found out we were going to go there. And it was going to cost more money to bring our furniture across the border than just to sell it and leave it here in America. Well, when we decided to stay in Canada, Deborah stayed in Canada, I went back to America, sold all our stuff, got what I could carry in 2 pickups, and went to Canada. And she never complained. And you see, prior to that, we had both had been, we were both working at good jobs, had accumulated things. But you know, here we are now, Some 30-something years later, God had to give me a house to live in. We got furniture. God's taking care of us.
Amen.
Amen.
But you understand this, that you can't let materialism get in your way. Paul says this, that yea, yourselves know that these have hands that minister to my necessities, and them that are with me. Paul was a working man. And he was not working for material things, but he was working for the necessities of the ministry to keep him going, but not only himself, but also others who labored with him. That tells me that Paul was an unselfish man if he's willing to use his earnings to not only support himself in the ministry and those who labored with him. My friend, he was a man who worked. He was a tent maker by trade. And there are a lot of days you have to make tent. My friend, it's making ends meet, you see.
That's it, amen.
We're not too good to labor.
Amen.
We're not too good to go out and shovel dirt, amen.
Amen.
If we have to do that for the cause of Christ, then so be it. But you understand this? The ministry is not a lazy man's job.
Amen.
Working in the ministry itself, I learned this, the days gone by this. When you start churches or you help weak churches, there's always a whole lot of money, so you learn how to build. You learn how to work on commodes, amen? Dig ditches, dig turbines, clean buildings, amen? You learn a whole lot of things that you didn't know that you got to learn to do because it's got to be done or it won't get done. This is mission. This is ministry.
Amen.
You understand this, that Paul says now, not only did I work to support me and the ministry and those who work with me, he says in verse number 35, I have showed you all things, how that so labored you ought to support the weak. And to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Paul also works so he gives some offerings. Didn't he? It's always good to be on the receiving end, isn't it? Feels good. Somebody walked up to you and gave you a $100 bill, would you appreciate that?
Yeah.
But Paul said it's more blessed to give than to receive.
Amen.
You understand this, that missions, ministry, is all about giving.
Amen.
Giving of yourself, of your time, of your finances. And if you're not willing to be a giver, then my friend, you might as well hang it up.
Amen.
God will never use you if you have not learned to be a giver. A lot of folks get excited about missions and ministry and missionary work and starting churches and so forth and so on. But the test comes when they get involved and see if they're going to be givers and workers.
Amen.
Because it takes every bit of that to do this work. Finally, in verse 36 and verse 38, you'll see the kind of weeping Paul saw. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed for them all. And they all left sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorry most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more, and they accompanied him unto the ship. Verse 36 tells that he knelt down and prayed with them all. Well, the Bible doesn't say what he prayed about. But obviously, by reading the text, no doubt he did pray that God would help them feed the church. That they would stay awake. And God would protect them from the wolves or those who would twist the truth out of joint. All these things that he had given, that they would be laborers and workers and do their giving like they needed to. All these things, no doubt Paul prayed about. Then he said this, and they all wept sore. Now, the Bible says they went sore. That does not mean they were stifling. The idea is, my friend, they wept loudly. They cried out. to. And most sleep at night over their souls. If I've read, those people love him.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. And when they found out that not, they might not see his face anymore, that caused them to weep. You understand this, that if a ministry, whether it be a pastorate or a mission work, is what it's supposed to be, there is a relationship that develops in a local church.
Amen.
It's of a family nature.
Amen.
Amen.
A church family. And then there's that relationship that develops between this church family and the pastor. Now, Brother Larry, if some hot shot come around and tried to make moves on your wife, would that bother you?
Yes, sir.
Sure would, wouldn't it? Every man here that's got a wife, you don't want nobody messing with your wife, do you? Well, it's kind of like that is with the church.
Amen.
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 You go mess with my church, it's almost like messing with my wife.
That's it.
Amen. Hear what I'm saying? Well, you understand this then. There's a relationship that develops. The people love the man of God. The man of God loves the people. Here those Ephesian elders. Here was the man who preached to them, who prayed for them, who rebuked them when they needed it, trained and taught them, and now he's gone. He's leaving. The Bible says, sorry most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him up to the ship. Those folks went as far as they could go until Paul left. You understand this, that's why the weeping was going on. There's a display of love from the people toward the man of God. And you understand this, it may be that you go into an area and you start a church. And at first, no one loves you. No one cares about you. But the moment the Lord allows you to see a harvest, and souls begin to get saved.
Amen.
And there they are. Preacher, what's this mean in the Bible? Or they'll see something for the very first time. Preacher, did you know that this was in the Bible? Of course he knows. But he gets excited because they're excited. Amen. Because they found it. Amen. They learned something.
Amen.
Well, it's not hard to see after a while how they're going to love you. Amen. And how you're going to love them. And that's the way it's supposed to be. And I'm going to tell you this, that the Lord's work is not something that just happens overnight.
Amen.
It's God who raises up the work.
Amen.
It's God who raises up the man of God for the work. And it takes time for that work to develop. This easy believism crowd, this Arminian crowd, are the opinion man, go out there and win 25 people, the Lord, start you a church, bless God, a year later, gone, go start another somewhere else, and just leave them out there for the wolves. Exactly. That's what does happen. It's happened on a lot of Indian reservations that I know about. And the only reason why they're doing it is for recognition, numbers. They don't care about those folks that are out there.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Well, you understand then, this mission conference is about home missions. Well, I think we're all in agreement tonight that we sure enough need it now.
Amen.
In America, the United States alone, there are 500 different tribes of Native Americans. The Southern Baptist Convention gave statistics, and going by what they said, 90% of Native American population hasn't been reached yet. Only 10% has been reached, and they claim about 4 or 5% of that. That doesn't count a work among independent Baptist churches. And that's probably a pretty good estimation. I know of reservations in this country. And that if you were to go to some of those places, you got going to a third world country. Very different from right here in America.
Right.
So is there a need for missionaries among native people? Sure there are. You say, preacher, I'm a white man. I can't preach to them Indians. I mean, I'm liable to get scalped. Amen. Some of you fellas ain't worried because you got a bunch of scalps. Now, what do you say? I'm saying this. It doesn't matter. If God raises up a work, He's the one who raises it up.
Amen.
If God raises up a man of God to go to a particular people, it's God who raised him up.
Amen.
It's God who puts in the hearts of the people to receive the message and also receive the messenger. It's not about color. It's not about where you come from. If God saved you and sent you to a people, then be assured He's got much people in that city.
Amen.
He's going to say. Amen?
Yeah.
And that's biblical. So that you understand, there are no excuses. Wherever God has called you and raised you up to go, just simply go.
Amen.
The success and the outcome lies in the hands of God.
Amen.
Not you.
Amen.
In God.
Amen.
And I'm thankful for that. Amen.
Amen.
So whether I have 100 saved or not, that's God's business. I'm to be faithful to preach the Word of God.
Amen.
And do what's right.
Amen.
As we all stand by our heads and close our eyes tonight, the challenge I want to make to you tonight is this. What are you doing in your ministry? What are you doing in your mission work? Are you the man of God you need to be? Are you the church member that you need to be? If you're not, tonight's the night that you need to settle this with God. Lord, I want to be the best missionary, the best pastor. I want to be all that God has raised me up to be for the glory of God. I want to be the best church member. I want to be a member that makes pastoring and ministry easy for my pastor because I'm going to obey the Word of God.
Amen.
But if you've got a heart of obeying, or you've got a spirit of don't care, some of you may just be plain lazy. But whatever your problem is, won't you get it taken care of tonight? Amen?
Amen.